here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving as well. And hopefully you've digested all the turkey now, and you will be able to concentrate on us for the next hour or so, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're hoping for that particular participation. The two numbers to join us with a question or answer are area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free, yes, we do have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Our lines are mostly open right now, except Ede is waiting, I think. But the other lines are open. So please give us a call. It's always great to call early in the show when I'm here. When Lori's here, it doesn't matter, apparently. But
matters to me.
But it's always great to call in early because you're guaranteed to get on. So give us a call as soon as you can. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. And again, that is MINDSOVERMATTER. And that is the numeral 1. So that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Also, I should remind you that if the signal's a little bit weak in your area, you can always listen to us online. There's a live stream going on right now at kalw.org, so just go there if you'd like to listen in full stereo mode. Again, that is kalw.org. And, of course, if you'd like to listen to the podcast after our show tonight, the lovely and talented Debbie is here. She will do her usual excellent job, and that should be up very soon after our show, and that will also be at kalw.org. And, of course, it'll also be on iTunes and a lot of other places later on. Okay. All that being said, wait a minute. There's nothing on this card. Oh, it's on the other side. We're going to start with the round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace, the aforementioned, is disappointed because she couldn't turn her new kangaroo fun fact into a trivia question for this evening's show. Just keep working on it. It'll come.
Just tell us the fun fact?
Yeah, evidently, kangaroos, generally speaking, have 2 to 3 vaginas, female kangaroos. 2 to 3. It's 2 unless they're about to give birth, and then a third median vagina shows up.
Well, you couldn't turn that into a question.
How many vaginas does a standard kangaroo have?
I would say 2 or 3.
Yeah, probably. It's easily guessed.
This is turning into the vagina monologue. All right, and
now that it is post-Thanksgiving, Lori Fisher has finally agreed that it's now reasonable for things to look a lot like Christmas, even though the world has looked quite Christmassy since before Halloween.
Way before Halloween. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, drove down from Oregon in a snowstorm on Thanksgiving and arrived back in the Bay Area. This is amazing. Just in time to see a fistfight by the side of the freeway in Albany. Happy holidays.
Yes. And the kicker to this was one of the people in the fist fight was in a wheelchair.
Oh, my.
Yes.
You have details?
Only in the Bay Area.
Did you get out and help?
No.
All right.
No, they seem to be doing fine on their own.
And
police came and broke it up.
I used to watch fights like that outside my apartment back in the 90s. So
there you go.
It's nostalgia.
Possibly the same people.
Yeah, good to see they're still going on.
Yeah.
All right. Tradition. We will start with Kira Pace.
All right. Katharine Graham was the first woman to do what? Also, where was she the first to do it?
Well, she owned the Washington Post.
That's it. And so that's the where, Washington Post.
And what are we missing?
What was she the first woman to do?
The first publisher? Is
nope.
that what she was?
Mm-mm.
Owner?
Nope.
Or something not related to the
No,
newspaper?
It is related to the Washington Post.
Read that once more.
Sure. Katharine Graham was the first woman to do what?
And it's
related to
the
Washington Post.
Post. Mm-hmm.
Was it a job she married into her position of power? Was it something she did before she was married? Like she was a sports reporter?
She took over after her husband
died. And it has to do with that.
It has something to do with Watergate?
The first spouse to be...
No, it's close enough. I'm going to give it to you, though. But she's the first woman to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
Oh, Okay.
So there you go.
That's when they owned Newsweek and a lot of other.
They did. Yeah. Things. I'm surprised she was the first. Right. That would have been the 70s.
Do you want another question?
Yes, another question.
Okay. So a couple weeks ago, designers Ben Dussel and James Lee released a new font, which they named Jerry. Why?
It's spelled Jerry.
G-E-R-R-Y. And it does matter. Mm-hmm. Again, designers Ben Dussel and James Lee released a new font, which they named Jerry. Why?
Anything to do with Jerry Ford?
No.
Okay. We had a lot of
Or Jerry Lewis.
Well, I mean...
But it's a G, not a J, right?
Correct. Yeah. It is a G.
So it's not Jerry
And Lewis. Someone could maybe make a case for it having something to do with Jerry Ford, but not
that's
really.
Not
no,
it.
That
okay.
that would be...
All right. Leave that out. And Lori, your turn.
So I have four short Thanksgiving-related questions. The first three have to do with the Macy's Day Parade, which started in 1924. I want to know, in 1927, they started to have balloons, and they were things like dinosaurs and dachshunds, but one was the first named character, kind of like a Donald Duck, a famous character. So I want to know who was the first.
But not a real person.
Correct. Well, that's the second question. Who was the first real person who was in a balloon, who was made into a balloon? Okay, so I'm looking for the first name character, the first real person. And then they started to do Broadway musical numbers in the parade, not until 1980. What was the first Broadway show that was featured in the Macy's Day Parade? If you get one of those, I'll give you the fourth question.
The first character.
Yeah.
Was it a woman or a man?
The real person or the cartoon
character? The cartoon character.
Is it a Cats and Jammer kid?
It is not a Cats and Jammer kid.
Was it olive oil by any chance?
It was not olive oil.
I know Popeye has been.
Yeah, Popeye was big, but he was not in the first year, and neither were any of Popeye's crew.
What year was it?
The year was 1927 for the
Felix the Cat.
That's it.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice.
All right. And I think the real. I seem to remember reading this. The real person, was it Eddie Cantor?
It was Eddie Cantor. Very good.
All right.
So if I can indulge me with my other Thanksgiving question, Sunset Magazine, this is courtesy of Sue Schweik, on its cover featured a recipe for a holiday dish that had a unique ingredient in it. Okay, they had never had this ingredient in a dish before. What was the ingredient?
Hmm. Okay, so this is not green bean casserole.
It is not green bean casserole. Okay. Well, it could be green bean casserole with a brand new ingredient in it. Okay, so I'm looking for the dish with the ingredients.
Give us a year for that one?
It was the current issue of Sunset Magazine.
Oh, okay.
Like now.
I was distracted. Read that once more, Lisa.
Oh, what about, is it lab-grown meat?
It is not.
Okay.
So Sunset Magazine had a recipe featured on its cover.
3D printer meat?
For a holiday dish. And in this holiday dish, which is a traditional dish, there was an ingredient they had never had in any of their recipes before. What was the dish and the ingredient?
Never had it in either.
Correct.
Is it seen more as a dish from another country?
No. The dish is seen very much as from this country.
Is it a side dish?
It's a little tricky to answer. I'm going to say I'm not sure what you'd classify it as.
Hmm. But it's not.
It's more side than main.
Okay, and is the ingredient something that was alive at some point?
Like an animal alive or a plant alive?
You're right.
So it's not tofurkey, is it?
It is not tofurkey.
Animal kingdom.
It is not in the animal kingdom.
Okay.
It's not turducken, is it?
It has nothing to do with turducken.
All right.
It could, but I think they've had turducken in the past. So I'm looking for the sunset recipe for traditional holiday... traditional holiday recipe that had a unique ingredient, never before, and what Broadway musical was first featured in the Macy's Day Parade and happened in 1980.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Oh, hi, is this me?
It is you.
Oh, okay. This is Debbie in Emeryville.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I wish I had a Thanksgiving question for you now.
You live close to where I saw the fight by the side of the freeway.
she wasn't responsible. To the Global Peace Index, what is the most peaceful country in the world? And it's greater than 20,000 square kilometers.
No, so it's not Vatican. It's not the Vatican.
No, is it? It's a Scandinavian country, isn't it?
No.
No? Okay.
The most peaceful country in the world. Can you tell us sort of the general part of the world that it might be in? Like, if you could give the continent, maybe, how about that?
No, I can't.
Is it Australia, then?
No.
So is it an island nation?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
New Zealand?
No.
Nope. Oh, Japan?
Nope.
Oh.
So an island nation.
They're in there, but that's not them.
Is it a fairly small population?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tuvalu?
No.
Is it in the Pacific?
No.
Oh. Okay.
And it's a distinct nation, right?
Yeah.
Is it Iceland?
Yeah, you got it.
Nice.
Very good.
Give yourself a bell for that. Good job.
Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We have a guess on the font. Does it have anything to do with gerrymandered?
Yes, that is absolutely correct.
Give credit to our studio audience for that one. Thank you very much.
All right. Good. Why don't you explain?
Each letter is made up of a gerrymandered district. There are some districts that have been gerrymandered so heavily that they just resemble letters. They're just crazy looking. And two guys pulled that together and made it its own font.
All right.
Fun to look
at. It's been a good month for fonts between that and Tiny Hands. Yeah.
All right, I will give you a couple questions. What was the first word added to Webster's dictionary as the result of an internet vote? It became popular after being used by a character on a TV sitcom in around 2014.
Bazinga?
No. Good guess.
I was going to guess Bodie McBoatface just based on internet vote.
What's the one the Simpsons have? Doi?
Doe. Yeah.
But no.
Okay.
So what was the first word added to Webster's dictionary as the result of an internet vote?
So they asked people, do you want this in the dictionary? And they voted it in?
Was it something
like a plebiscite
like
thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was around 2014, and there was a popular TV sitcom that it promoted its use. Let's put it that way.
Is it at all kind of racy or obscene a little
not
bit?
Not at all. Okay.
Is it Simpsons related?
It is not Simpsons related.
Is it an animated?
It's a cute word.
Okay. From an animated TV thing?
It is not.
All right.
It's just a live action sitcom. So think around 2014's TV sitcom. Sitcom ran for several years. It's off now. And so what was the first word added to Webster's Dictionary? I'll give you a hint later on in the show.
Everyone will know this word. It won't be a surprise.
I'm sure you've heard it.
Have you heard it today?
You mean in conversation?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay.
I want it to be Jabroni, but that show's still on.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Too bad. Next vote.
Next time.
So, what is the most frequently asked word question to editors at Merriam-Webster Dictionary? It has to do with a word ending. What is the most frequently asked question to editors at Merriam-Webster Dictionary? It has to do with a word ending.
A single word or a rule?
I'm sorry?
Is it a single word ending or a rule for ending words? Like the possessive case when it ends in S?
I wouldn't call it a rule, no. It's not a rule.
Is it about possessive, like the apostrophe S?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with possessive.
Okay.
Anything to do with punctuation?
No.
Okay. All right. So.
People should be asking about that apostrophe S.
They've given up.
Have you seen the way people write on the internet?
They clearly are not asking.
No, they're clearly not.
So
what is the most frequently asked word question to editors at Merriam-Webster Dictionary? It has to do with a word ending.
And so when you say a word ending, it sounds like one word, but
there's more than one word that ends this way.
Yeah, but it's not a lot.
So, no.
All right. Is it more how to spell the ending of the word, like adding ing kind of thing?
No.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yes, this is Ed. How are you?
Hi, Ed.
Pretty good. So when you have a large group of wolves, you call them pack of wolves. What happens if you have a large group of baboons?
Congress.
What do you call them?
Go ahead.
Congress.
You very clever. You're right.
There you go.
And maybe that explains why you have such trouble in Washington D.C. Yeah, large group of baboons, and many of them look like baboons, are called Congress. Okay. My second question, I asked it before, but there's a reason why I ask it tonight. Which country have the highest or the largest number of pyramids?
Pyramids?
Pyramids.
Is it Sudan?
It is Sudan.
Wow.
It is Sudan.
Right.
Now, not like the Egyptian pyramids, they're all tiny, tiny, tiny. They're about 8 feet high and small, tiny, tiny. About 200 of them. But the Egyptian pyramids, of course, are unique. They're large and that and that and that. So if you ever watch opera Aida, there's a little struggle between Egypt and this country to the south. What was the name of, what was the ancient name of the country?
So you mean where Sudan would be now?
Yes.
What was the ancient name?
It's actually the name, in that, the name of the country in the Bible. You know, it is in the Bible as well.
Right.
As part of the Egyptian.
Is any part of this country still use
it's
that
still
name?
Sudan. Part of it is Nuba as well. Nuba and Sudan. What was it called?
Nubian.
Wait, Nubian?
Wait a minute.
No, with Nubia and Sudan, Nuba and Sudan were this country, south of Egypt, who Egyptians have big struggle. I mean, they invaded many times. They built walls to keep them from seeping in the country, all kind of things.
But you said, it's not Ethiopia, because this is
it's not Ethiopia, right. No. It's not Ethiopia at all.
Right, okay.
So it is Nubia and Sudan. So I'll give you the answer, because the reason I'd like to recommend some show to watch tonight, it is called Kush. You heard of that, right? That's
Kush.
What Kush was. So they were always a struggle, and the Egyptians ruled them for like several thousand years until, as the Egyptian empire starts fading or falling apart, then they invaded Egypt actually for a very short time, but then they were kicked out very quickly after.
Isn't there kind of a weed that...
Say it again?
Yeah, that's a weed-related, marijuana-related term as
well. Not at all. But actually, tonight on Science Channel, which is 272 on Comcast, they're a really good show. It is called The Lost Kingdom of Black Pharaohs. It's about that story. Really worthwhile to watch. It is 8 o'clock. So after your show is over, you can turn to Comcast 272, Science Channel, and it has that show.
All right.
Thank you. Always a good show. Your show is always the greatest. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Reed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
At least he didn't recommend something at 7:30.
Really? Or on right now.
And Kira, it is your turn.
All right. So among NASCAR fans, February 18th, 2001 was a noteworthy day. What happened that day, and what Emmy-nominated actor drove the pace car?
In 2001.
This is more for the audience, I think.
Starting NASCAR, in 2002, I would know.
Sure. So among NASCAR fans, February 18th, 2001, other than being the debut of the Team Sharpie car, it was a noteworthy day. What happened that day, and what Emmy-nominated actor drove the pace car?
Are the what happened and the pace car driver related in some
no,
way?
Okay. No, just a question.
So this is not the Indianapolis 500?
This is
NASCAR?
No. The first race of the NASCAR season is typically in the south because the weather is better for it.
I missed it again.
next year. So how about Burt Reynolds as the Emmy-nominated star?
That's a very good guess. It's not at all like him, other than that it was a comedy. But that's a great guess because you have the right state anyway. Oh,
yeah. We have a guess that it's Paul Newman.
It's not Paul Newman. Nope.
Okay, and
I'm assuming it's a male.
All right. So there are two different things you're looking for here?
Right. What was noteworthy about the NASCAR
Is there a first-time female driver?
No.
Okay.
The father and son driving together?
That's happened several times. Oh, wow. There happened to be that day, as a matter of fact.
You might know way too much about this.
Yeah,
yeah, really.
No idea. She was so into NASCAR.
Closet NASCAR.
You might have to pull the sports rule and ban NASCAR questions.
That's fair. I don't watch anymore. It made me too angry.
Emmy-nominated actor.
There's an Emmy-nominated actor.
Was the actor associated? That's why I picked Burt Reynolds, Smokey and the Bandit.
Sure. No, that's a great guess.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons, it just happens to be wrong.
I think any one reason would have sufficed, but okay.
No, it's a great educated guess.
Right.
That is wrong.
But I should go uneducated. Is what I should
So is the actor somebody who was associated with this sort of thing?
This actor did have let's see, was known for his racing fanaticism by some, anyway. He wasn't really associated with NASCAR for very long, though, I don't think.
Yeah, that's the Paul Newman clip.
Too late for Steve McQueen.
Yeah. It is.
Dead. Okay, leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Robert in Berkeley.
Hi, Robert.
I have a question that starts with a historical fact about Thanksgiving, and that is that on December 18th, 1777, the nation, I'm not sure how to call it, the Confederated States of America, is that correct?
No, close enough.
Anyway, it was the first time that Thanksgiving was celebrated as a nation in what would become the United States. Now, the reason for that was a turn in the tide of the Revolutionary War, specifically the Battle of Saratoga. And now my question drifts away from Thanksgiving, gets centered more on that, on the Battle of Saratoga. Specifically, there is a stone monument to someone who fought on the Confederate States side.
The revolutionary side.
Revolutionary side.
There you go.
Let's call it that.
Okay.
Someone who fought on the revolutionary side, there is a stone monument, this person. The monument consists of a sculpted figure of a left riding boot. And the question is, whose monument is it, given that no name appears on the monument?
Is it possible it's Benedict Arnold?
Oh,
nice.
I knew you'd get it right away.
He was the hero of Saratoga, the Battle of Saratoga. This is before he turned traitor.
Yes. If you want to fill in why his left boot would be so honored,
he was shot in the leg, wasn't he?
Yes, in the left leg. It was a very serious wound. It took him a long time to recover, and his treatment, I think, during his being out of commission, his treatment by the Continental Army was. Contributed to his souring on the revolutionary side.
Right. Good question. Thank you.
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy post-Thanksgiving to you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Lori, your turn.
All right. Well, in our studio audience tonight...
I'm giving myself a bell. So there.
Kara told me there is a librarian, so this is a librarian question. I'm going to give you the my list. This is my maximum list. It has six items. I'm going to give you six actors, and I want to know in what work, either TV or movie work, they played a librarian or someone who worked in a library. First is Katharine Hepburn. Second is Tim Robbins. Third is Donna Reed. Fourth is Philip Baker Hall. Number five is Shirley Jones. And number six is Betty Davis. So all these people played librarians or people who worked in or for a library. And Katharine Hepburn, Tim Robbins, Donna Reed, Philip Baker Hall, Shirley Jones, and Betty Davis. I'll give you like 1.5 each.
Well, Betty Davis played a librarian protesting a banned book in Storm Warning.
Very nice. I have Storm Center.
Or Storm Center?
That's what I have.
Yeah. Storm Center.
Very good.
And Katharine Hepburn played a reference librarian in Desk Set.
She did. Remember her name? Bunny Watson.
Bunny Watson.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. So since he took two, he gets one.
Yeah.
The librarian says Donna Reed was a librarian in It's a Wonderful Life.
Very nice. Mary Hatch was her name. Very good. So we still have...
Wasn't she the librarian only in George's... flashback, like that's what she would have become had she not married George.
Yeah, she had been a spinster, as they used to call
them. Right,
yeah,
that's spinster right. Librarian. That's there right, you yeah. go. I'm sorry,
so we'll leave out the other three, which are Tim Robbins, Philip Baker Hall, and Shirley Jones.
And
so, I never saw It's a Wonderful Life. Does she have glasses when she's a librarian?
She does.
It's law. They have
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we had a message from the Great Beyond that Tim Robbins was the librarian in Shawshank Redemption.
I thought that was the hardest one. He was Andy Dufresne.
So that's for everybody.
All right. So that only leaves us Philip Baker Hall and Shirley Jones.
Okay. And we are about 20 minutes, or a little more after 20 minutes, so I will remind you that you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. for the last 26 years or so. And our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace from Dabo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Okay, well, let's go to a call and then I'll do a question. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Welcome. So this is James from The Mission. Was the ingredient from the Sunset magazine answered?
It was not answered. What is it?
Could it be like pot or CBD or something like that?
It is exactly pot or CBD.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. And, such a good answer.
And where did, and in what dish did they put the cannabis?
Kush.
Not the Kush. Where did they put the Kush?
I don't know, the green bean salad or the green bean.
Good guess. We'll leave the other half out there. So cannabis was in some regular thing that
it's
was on your
gotta
table.
It's got to be a dessert then,
it
right?
Is not a dessert.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Mashed potatoes?
You're really close.
Sweet potato pie?
What do you put on mashed potatoes?
Gravy.
There it is. Cannabis in the gravy.
Interesting.
Okay. Thank you, Sue Schweik, for that one. Very nice. Go. Good work, caller.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
You too. All right, I'm going to give you, I have a film question here. I'm going to give you the character names of six characters, I should say, and these are the character names of women that won the Best Actress Academy Award. Okay, so in other words, I want you to tell me the actress who used this character name in their Academy Award-winning role. Most of these are within the last 20 years. I threw that for Kira because
and they all
she
won
doesn't
for
like
best
movies as much as I do.
Bless
Not
your
best
heart.
Supporting, right? Best actress?
Best actress only,
okay.
Yes. So these are character names for women that won the Best Actress Academy Award. So there are six different ones. There's only one that's outside of that 20-year span.
Wow.
So here we go. I'll give you each one guess. Number one, Alice Howland. Number two, Mildred Hayes. Number three, Nina Sayers. Number four, Carol Connolly. Number five, Maggie Fitzgerald. And number six, Princess Anne. So again, these are character names for women who won the Best Actress Academy Award in their Academy Award-winning roles. So most of these are within the last 20 years or so. One is beyond that, or older than that, I should say. So number one, Alice Howland. Number two, Mildred Hayes. Number three, Nina Sayers. Number four, Carol Connolly. Number five, Maggie Fitzgerald. Number six, Princess Anne. And I'll give you each one guess.
I'm going to defer to Kira.
Huh. No. And you said these are all best actress
they
winners.
Are.
They
the
won.
Best actress winners, yes.
In
they
the
all
last
won.
20 years.
And these were the character names of the people they played. I'll go over once more.
Yeah.
Number one, Alice Howland. Number two, Mildred Hayes. Number three, Nina Sayers. Number four, Carol Connolly. Number five, Maggie Fitzgerald. Number six, Princess Anne. Princess Anne is the only one that's outside of that around 20 years. Group. Nobody?
I've got nothing.
Nothing?
I was going to guess Alice doesn't live here anymore for Alice Howland, but it's not that.
It is not that. Although her name did sound like that.
Yeah.
You're right. There was a Beth Howland who was involved in that show.
Oh, that, interesting.
Yeah.
But that's not it.
And some of these, were they maybe characters that weren't addressed by these names?
No. These are all their names.
Okay.
Were any of them real life people?
No.
Okay.
Because I was thinking Helen Hunt had some terrible name for As Good As It Gets, but I don't know that it was any of these.
Okay.
Like maybe she went by something
else. I don't
think
she was any of these people.
Yeah, I don't either.
Right, so none. Is it true that none of them are Helen Hunt?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. That would give you too much of a guess.
Well, you could tell us. Okay.
Okay, well, then I'll officially guess Helen Hunt so you can tell me it's not.
For all of them.
Yes.
No.
I'll say Mildred Hayes, Helen Hunt.
No,
thank you.
She did have a name like
Yeah,
Gertrude.
It was really
yeah.
awful.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And she did win.
All right. Just to remind you, the two numbers to join us with a question or answer, area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255.
Is Alice Howland, is that Holly Hunter in Broadcast News?
It is not.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. Yeah, so I was going to answer the one about the Broadway musical. Was it Annie?
It was not Annie.
That's
such
a great
a good guess,
though.
And it would be so expected, but that wasn't it. That wasn't the first one.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
All right, let me go down the line. Shirley Jones was Marion the Librarian in the Music Man.
She sure was. Very good.
First Broadway, if it ain't Annie, how about The Wiz?
It was not The Wiz. Another good guess.
Hmm. Okay. Daytona 500, 2001, was that the day Dale Earnhardt had that accident?
It is, yes. So speaking of father and son teams, Dale Earnhardt had his accident because he was letting his son go ahead of him, or that was part of it. But yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And lastly, but not leastly, Maggie Fitzgerald, that was Hillary Swank in Million Dollar Baby.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nice. We're done.
Good. All right. Thanks.
Bye.
And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I had Music Man, Marion the Librarian. I was going to sing it.
Go ahead.
We'll give you a bell.
Flair to the show. And,
give
and,
us a line.
I had the Dale Earnhardt thing, too. But how about, did Tom Cruise have a movie called Days of Thunder around that time? Could he? Oh, what is it? It's an Emmy Award-winning.
It is. No, that's a great reason for it to be Tom Cruise. But, again, it's not Tom Cruise.
Emmy Award-winning. So then I will say Jay
Leno. Award-nominated. Emmy Award-nominated.
Jay Leno.
No. Also a great guess.
He likes cars.
He does.
All right.
Oh, that's it.
I thought he was going to sing a line from the music.
Stomped off.
Yeah. Call back with the singing.
And since we are about halfway through the show, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. So what do we have?
The only thing that I'm still looking for is the name of the person who drove the pace car, the Emmy-nominated actor who drove the pace car for the 2001 Daytona 500.
Right.
And I would like to know the first Broadway musical that was featured in the Macy's Day Parade, and it was in 1980. And I'm looking for one more librarian. The actor Philip Baker Hall played some librarian or someone who worked for a library in either a movie or a television show.
Oh, could be a movie or a television show.
And I'll give you a hint. It was a television show.
Right.
Was it The Librarian with Noah Wyle as the librarian?
It was not.
Okay.
And I'd like to know, what was the first word added to the Webster's Dictionary as the result of an internet vote? It became popular as a result of a sitcom that was on for several years around 2014. what is the most frequently asked word question to editors at Merriam-Webster Dictionary? It has to do with a word ending.
We have a guess on that from the studio audience about words ending in G-R-Y.
That is correct.
All right.
That is correct.
What's the question?
The question is, they want to know what other words end in G-R-Y besides angry and the other word that ends in G-R-Y, hungry.
Wait, that's the most frequently asked question.
It is, believe it or not.
It sounds like a Will Short's word quiz. Yeah, editors are. Do you ever have that come up when you're editing?
No.
The other words, all the words that end with G R Y.
No.
And I give you a list of best actress winners, the character names for the roles that they won for. Usually takes me about 3 or 4 times to do a question like this to get it worded correctly. And so the ones we have left are Alice Howland, Mildred Hayes, Nina Sayers, Carol Connolly, and Princess Anne. So those are Academy Award-winning characters for Best Actress.
All fictional.
All fictional, yes.
Sure.
And let's see. I kind of forgot whose turn it was. I think, is it yours?
It's yours
now.
Sure. All right, so I will give you a quote from a piece of interwar literature. You tell me the source and the author, and I have 5 of them. So you can each have one. Here's the first.
So these are all war novels?
Interwar literature. So
it means between World War I and World War II.
Yeah, written between those two wars.
Okay. It could be between the Korean War and the Vietnam War.
Yes, but it's not. It's World War I, World War II. So there are 5. Here's the first. He lost his self 1,000 times, and for days on end he dwelt in non-being. The second one is This is the Way the World Ends, not with a bang but a whimper. The third is So That Is Marriage, Lily thought, a man and a woman looking at a girl throwing a ball. The fourth one is I like a view, but I like to sit with my back turned to it. And finally, My Mother is a Fish. So I can read those one more time if you want to
I'd like to think about them one more time.
Okay, the first one. He lost himself 1,000 times, and for days on end he dwelt in non-being. Second, this is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper. Third, so that is marriage, Lily thought, a man and a woman looking at a girl throwing a ball. The fourth is, I like a view, but I like to sit with my back turned to it. And finally, my mother is a fish.
Well, number two is T.S. Eliot.
Uh-huh. Which particular
work? Which Eliot's?
The Wasteland?
Other one.
Cocktail Party.
No, the Love Song of J.F.
I'm sorry, the third one.
Did we get it? The Love Song of J.F.
No, it's not.
Okay, and not the...
Not the Cocktail Party.
No.
And it's not the Love Song of J.F. Proof Rock. And
not the Wasteland.
Not the Wasteland. No.
The one with quartets, the four quartets.
No.
It's a poem, not a play?
Actually, it's not the Wasteland. Now I'm confused. Now I've confused myself. I have this answer.
Maybe it is the Wasteland.
I think we're going to get a thing from the booth here.
Okay.
We have our fact checkers coming over.
No, I'm pretty...
We have a professor of English literature coming in.
What's it say?
Oh, the Hollow Man.
That's
Hollow
what I have.
Oh,
yes.
There you go.
There you go.
Which we had to read. I put that in for one of my studio audience here.
All right.
Okay, so that is that one.
Are there others from poems or plays? For some reason, I thought there were going to be novels.
Book. Okay. So... No poems, no plays.
Are these all Americans?
No.
Are they all originally written in English?
I'm not sure about one of them. The other three, definitely.
All right, why don't you go over just the quotes once more.
Mm-hmm. He lost himself 1,000 times, and for days on end he dwelt in non-being. So that is marriage, Lily thought, a man and a woman looking at a girl throwing a ball. I like a view, but I like to sit with my back turned to it. And finally, my mother is a fish.
And that stands out.
Yes.
It should. It's the whole chapter.
Yeah.
The one with a lily in it sounds a little familiar to me.
And these are all written between World War I and II.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, from 1922 to 1933, I think, is what I have.
All right. Anything win the Pulitzer Prize?
I could not tell you. I think one of them... Wait, no. One of the authors did, I don't think, with that... particular novel.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Hal in Fremont. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So I'm going to give a stab. First Broadway show to perform in the Macy's Day Parade. Is that Brigadoon?
It was not Brigadoon.
Okay. Can we just knock off Helen Hunt? Wasn't she Carol Connelly?
She was Carol Connelly.
Very good.
That must be new.
As good as it gets, yes.
Bouncing around it, I was just knocking it all together.
There you go.
Lastly, I just had my list has been destroyed. My mother is a fish. Is that As I Lay Dying?
It is, yes.
Excellent.
As I Lay Dying.
Faulkner.
Sweet. And that's all I have tonight.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much.
Great show as always. Thank you.
Thank you. And Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. So this is in this sort of a sports question.
Yeah.
It is. It's in the spirit of college football rivalry. So most college teams have mascots that are animals, eagles, tigers, etc. I want to know the three most frequently used mascots that are human beings. That makes sense?
I'm sorry. Is this high school and college or just
college?
It's college. College. Okay.
4-year college teams.
Trojan?
No.
Spartans?
No.
Oh, that's good.
They're all in that spirit.
Oh, Indians, maybe?
Nope.
Warriors?
Warriors is the third highest one. Very good.
All right.
So I'm looking for the two other highest representation of mascots as humans.
Anything to do with Native Americans?
Chiefs? Well, like chiefs or something like that?
Chiefs.
No.
Okay.
So I'm going to say no.
But the other two are probably fighting, like military well, kind of.
I think
of.
Franklin and Marshall, their mascot is the diplomat. So, yeah.
they, what about the poets?
There's ones that there's the poets, there's yeah. the Quakers, but there are, those have fewer representations.
Right.
These
think,
have
but
as
one
many
and two.
As 30 or 40.
Right. So one and two are both military style.
One is definitely military. I would say the other one is sort of only quasi-military.
All right. So just give the question once
okay,
more.
So I'm looking for the in four-year college teams, the mascots, the top three mascots that are human beings rather than animals, and Dana got warriors, and I'm looking for the other two.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. It's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. How about pirates?
No.
Oh, that's good, though.
It's really good, but not in the top three.
Generals?
Not generals.
Braves?
Not Braves.
Okay.
Keep going. Fight with fighting people.
belligerents.
Belligerents, yeah. They're all belligerents, I guess.
It's a good generic yeah. title, yeah.
Be a good name.
The fighting belligerents.
All right. I can't think of it. Was the NASCAR pace car driver, Carol, is that Tim Allen?
No, it is not Tim Allen.
Okay. Bill Baker Hall was in, well, he was a library employee in Seinfeld.
That's correct.
Oh, very good.
He was the enforcer of fines, right? He was sent
right,
out
the
to,
library cop.
Yeah, the library cop. Jerry had an overdue book for like 30 years. Yeah.
And of course, you'll probably get this quick, but to add to that list about Clint Eastwood.
As a librarian?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, he worked in the library in Escape from Alcatraz.
That's right.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Two prison librarians.
Right.
And he, yeah, just a little deep trivia on that. And he delivered a book when he's delivering the magazines. The first convict, he delivers it to is Danny Glover, and that's his first screen appearance.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, anyway. Did you get Alice Howland yet?
We did not.
Is that Julianne Moore?
It is Julianne Moore and still Alice. Very good.
Right, okay.
Very good.
Did you get the Mother is a Fish?
No.
Did yeah, we
no,
did.
Yes,
uh-huh.
we did. I'm sorry. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But you
all
can
right.
give it again. It's such a good Faulkner, chapter.
Right? It should be Faulkner as I lay dying.
It
think,
is.
Right?
Yep.
Yep. Lost himself a thousand times. That's not Kerouac, is it?
No.
No, that's post-war. Shoot. Okay. And I don't know. I'll guess Kangaroo 20.
For what?
I'm sorry?
Kangaroo.
Was the kangaroo answered?
What? Oh, it was never asked, so no.
It was sort
oh,
of
okay.
asked,
it
sort of
answered.
Yes. 20 is way too.
It's my answer.
2 to 3.
And a good
all right. The first Broadway show, was that Starlight Express?
It was not.
Macy's Day Parade? Nope. Okay. I'll ask, what was the first LP to sell a million copies?
First LP.
Was it a Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas thing?
No.
Okay.
Was it LP?
Was okay. it Elvis? Was it an Elvis record?
No.
Before that?
I mean, within the time of Elvis.
But, yeah. So what was the genre, I mean, of a, if you had to say? Was it?
The genre is actually in the title of the album.
Swing.
It's a good clue. The genre
is it? It's not Miles Davis, is it?
Oh, nice.
No,
no.
Okay.
It's going to be if it's in the time of Elvis and the genre, so it's not. Is it Rock Around the Clock? Bill Haley's album?
No.
Is the word swing?
Oh, Calypso.
Oh.
Calypso, very good.
And this is because the fellow that wrote the Banana Boat song died this week, correct?
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah, he wrote, I think, a little
Ben-A
over
or
like
Ben-A
half
or
his songs on the album.
Right.
Now the first right. Burgess
with them, and he
nice.
Also wrote the lyrics to the Barbados National Anthem.
It's cool.
Interestingly enough. All right, thanks. Great show, as always.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. What is the only letter that is never silent in English words? It's the only letter in the alphabet that is never silent
Q.
in English words.
Sorry, L?
No.
Q.
No.
There's a silent Q, huh, in some word?
What is the only letter that is never silent?
It's not a trick question, right?
No, it's not a trick question at all. No. Mm-mm.
Well, I guess it also depends on pronunciation. I mean, L's and R's, which are liquid.
In correct pronunciation, what is the only letter?
Correct. What, like the Queen's received? What?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying, you know. If you were to look at this, the way the word is spelled and pronounced in the dictionary, you would. That would be the way I would approach it.
My second guess would be Z.
No.
F?
No.
Okay.
What is the only letter that is never silent in English words? All right, I'll give you one more short question. What very famous geographical area is named after the wife of King Philip IV of Spain? What very famous geographical area is named after the wife of King Philip IV of Spain?
You're not going to tell us her name, obviously. Or could you?
No, because that would be the name, the geographical area.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah. So, and it is not in Europe, and it is not in North or South America. Okay? So what very famous geographical area is named after the wife of King Philip IV of Spain? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Yes, hi. This is Joseph in Oakland.
Hi, Joseph.
Hi. Well, first of all, we love your show. We listen to it every Sunday when we're having dinner.
Thank you.
I'm thinking about the show and the, I guess, around 2014 sitcom. Would that be Seinfeld and the word Festivus?
That's a great guess, but no. I think since we only have about 15 minutes left, I'm going to tell you the show and see if that helps you. The show is That Girl. Not That Girl.
The show is That Girl?
No.
Not That Girl. It's the one with Zooey Deschanel.
New Girl.
Yes, New Girl.
New Girl.
So they coined a term in that show, and that's now in
voting. It's just a single word. Yeah.
Single word.
Oh.
But coined for the show.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's... it has to do with awkward. It's it's like cute and awkward. It's a portmanteau. It's like
caught
word.
Let's see if our caller knows it first.
Okay. Oh, but I don't know. But we do have another answer for one of the questions.
Okay. Go ahead. No, that's fine. Go ahead.
So it's the view. The one with the view. Was that Gertrude Stein?
It is.
Very good.
Yes, the autobiography of Alice B. Toklas. Oh.
Yes.
I like a view, but I like to sit with my back turned to
it. Hilarious.
It is.
Do you want to do the letter?
Oh, the letter. With that, would that be Z?
It is not Z.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that's all we have, but thanks for a great show. You guys are fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the call. Thanks.
Have a good night.
You too.
Very nice.
Adorkable.
Yes. Adorkable is the first word added to Webster's Dictionary as the result of an internet vote. Yes.
Very nice.
Good. That's a cute word.
It is cute.
Yes.
I've not seen it out in public very much, though.
No. Mm-hmm. And, it's listed in Urban Dictionary, so.
Maybe my students will start putting it in their papers.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's hope not.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
Hi. Nina Sayers is the lovely Natalie Portman in Black Swan.
I knew you were going to get that, and I put it in there just for you. Nina Sayers
just to make him call.
Natalie Portman in Black Swan, because I think Greg has the record for most times watched on an airplane for Black Swan.
I know that because I saw Black Swan 19 times on the way to Europe and back.
Every time I would wake up sitting next to you to be watching Black Swan. So
that's adorkable.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And let's see. Who has a short question?
I do.
All right. Go ahead.
Sure. So historians were able to track the Lewis and Clark expedition with some precision because they were able to identify spots that had been their campsites. What was the identifying factor? Why was it there?
I shudder to think.
You should shudder. It's got really? That answer, yeah. They were able to identify the campsites, even though the campsites were centuries old at that point.
Is something to do with the toilet?
It does have something to do with
it. So it's a bodily function was represented there?
Yeah, actually, it has to do with bodily functions, yeah.
So the latrine they dug.
It does, but how were they able to identify their latrines?
That they knew it was Lewis and Clark's,
pretty much.
That they somehow, they signed it somehow.
Is it what was found in the
feces? It could have been in the feces. I would guess probably it was more in the urine.
Maize, what you call corn?
Yeah. Is that a Pee Wee reference?
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah. It's no. It is something that that they expelled, I guess.
And so they found what they ate expelled in their fecal matter, yes?
Or in urine, yes. The remnants of.
Oh. Oh, so.
Pemmican.
No.
Some sort of alcohol?
Nope.
So it would be, but it would be in.
Debbie knows. I don't know.
No?
But it was still there 100 years later, right?
A couple hundred, yeah.
A couple hundred years later.
Sure.
And you want to know specifically what it is?
Yep.
You want to know that thing?
That thing and why?
And why?
Is it because it's something that they brought with them?
Yeah, they did bring it with
them. Like from when they first started, like a supply of particular something?
Is it something that's not normally a food?
Yeah, that would be fair to say,
How about gunpowder?
No, you're on the right track, kind of.
What else would people have consumed?
Saltpeter.
No. Although you have a little bit of the reason down. Well, the opposite, but yeah.
Was it something explosive or something to do with flint or?
No.
Okay, so it wasn't weaponry of any kind.
No, but it was definitely a chemical element that should not have been there. It's a chemical element that should not have been there. Oh. So that's where you are right now.
A chemical element that is not normally consumed by people?
That is correct. At least not anymore.
Mercury.
It is mercury.
Oh, interesting.
That's right. They're able to track.
Reason, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did somebody have syphilis?
That's exactly right.
What they used to treat syphilis.
That's how they used to treat syphilis. They'd give you a mercury pill. So they were just traveling all around, having fun, sexy times in this new land.
Yes, and you do.
Popping syphilis pills, and we're able to track exactly the Lewis and Clark expedition because
spreading it amongst the Native Americans. And
which one did they suspect had syphilis, Lewis or Clark or both?
I don't know.
Well, one of them, Clark, I'm trying to think, one of them committed suicide, so it's probably that one.
It could be that one.
I think it's Meriwether Lewis. Anyway, okay.
I wasn't so short, but that was a good question.
Yes.
All right. Do you have a short question?
I do. HBO, starting recently, maybe even New Year, is going to add a new warning before shows about something the show contains. So they already have violence and sexual situation and language. They're now going to have this following program contains
mercury.
Blank. Not mercury.
All right.
Suicide?
What are they going to warn people about? No.
Okay.
Huh. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Sue, and the call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah. I've won a stranger
run,
calls. I know
run
that.
Every, is that legal? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's coming from the booth.
Yeah. Okay, here's my question. So Henry Ford, the word ending made me think of it.
Yes.
Henry Ford stipulated that his personnel office had to spell a certain word differently. So what was the word, how is it spelled, and why?
Was it a name of one of the cars, the Ford cars?
No. It's a common word.
So like
if you told us the reason, would that give it away? Or if there is a reason, I don't know.
I don't know whether, it wouldn't give it away. It would be obvious which word.
So he decreed in the writings at Ford that this word be spelled a certain way. Is that right?
That's right. Had to type it a certain way, with a certain spelling.
So is it changing it from an uppercase to a smaller case or something like that?
No, it's changing the spelling.
Was it a British spelling? Like he added a U to color or something along those lines?
No, right. I don't think so.
Is it anything anti-Semitic?
No. Good guess. So,
did it have,
you want the answer?
Did it have to do with mechanism or measurements?
No, I'll give you a clue, although I don't think you could figure it out from it. It had to do with saving paper and speeding up typing.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this was a efficiency thing.
Right.
Did he shorten a word? It was a long word, and he created a short version?
He took off a letter, a single letter.
It's just a single letter.
Oh, it's... Oh, this is ringing a bell now. It's not okay. He didn't change the spelling of okay.
Is it because this letter was far removed on the keyboard?
No, not at all. Not at all. It just was a space-saving, time-saving mechanism. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's employee spelled with only one E.
Oh, really?
And it was to save paper.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, I wonder how much paper it saved.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, really.
All right. Well,
I thought he went from automobiles to auto. That's what I thought.
Yeah, right.
That would save a ton of paper. Well, that'd be a ton of paper.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Six letters out.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. Let me move away from the radio. This is Caroline from Berkeley. And I think the answer to the one about the tennis court is To the Lighthouse by Virginia Woolf.
That's correct.
Very nice. Good.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Julie from San Jose. I think I have an answer to the Philip Baker Hall question. He was a library... fine cop on a Seinfeld episode.
He certainly was. Very good. We got it before, but we'd like to hear it. Thank you.
Yay. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Hayes from San Francisco. How are you guys
Hayes.
Doing?
Good.
The letter that's not cut off, is it a T?
It is not.
Okay, because I figured that one because that seems to be the one that's most annoying. But thank you very much, and
thank
have
you.
A great night.
You too. All right, time to clean up here. Kira.
Sir, what about S?
No.
Okay, bye.
Lots of silent S's, I think.
Yeah, I know. So he lost himself, he lost himself 1,000 times, and for days on end he dwelt in non-being. That is Hermann Hesse's Siddhartha.
Oh.
And the person who drove the pace car the day that Dale Earnhardt died, that was Frankie Muniz of Malcolm in the Middle.
Nice.
Yeah, good
to hear his name.
Yeah.
The mascots who are humans and not animals that we didn't get were knights, which is pretty obvious, and pioneers is the other one. They were just ahead of warriors. And the first Broadway show to be featured in a Macy's Day Parade was Pirates of Penzance with Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, okay. Let's see, the Best Actress...
Wait, I'm sorry, I have one more.
Excuse me.
Yeah, the HBO warning from now on, they will warn you when there will be a depiction of depression. So anytime depression, which is in every show ever...
13 Reasons Why, yeah. Probably, as a result of that.
I think it was.
And, yes, the Best Actress, Best Actress Academy Award winner character names, the ones nobody got. Mildred Hayes was Frances McDormand in Three Billboards from Ebbing, Missouri. And Princess Anne, that was Audrey Hepburn in Roman Holiday. Let's see. The what famous geographical area is named after the wife of King Philip IV of Spain? That is in the Pacific Ocean. Do you try to guess on that?
Oh, I was just thinking the Mariana Islands.
That is correct. The Mariana Trench of Mary Anne of Austria.
Wow.
The only letter that is never silent in English words is V. So, if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to our panel. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher from Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks, of course, to Steve Wilcott and Debbie Kennedy for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. And we hope you will join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is 91.